Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Stephanie Livergood, and today we're going to talk about adoption. In fact, as I thought about adoption, I think just about every family I know has had that experience in one way or another. They have a relative that has been adopted. In fact, my niece just informed us she had been adopted. It was a little Chinese baby at the time. And both my uncle and my aunt have passed away. And we've kept in contact. She's grown now. Her biological second cousin had been looking for her and found her, and now she's reunited with all of her family, all of her original family. And it's been a blessing to her because she didn't really have any family. And I thought, you know, adoption, well, we're all adopted. And so I'm talking with Stephanie about adoption. We're going to relate it to the ultimate adoption. But Stephanie, to begin with, tell me a little bit about your background. Were you adopted as a child?
No, I wasn't adopted. I had a lot of friends who were adopted. We had people in our church who adopted, and I always very much wanted to adopt. I thought it was just a wonderful thing.
So you got married, and after you were married, then you decided you're going to make this dream a reality. Tell our listeners a little bit about that experience.
We didn't decide. God decided for us. We talked when we were dating that we would love to adopt at some time, and thought we'd probably have a few biological children and adopt a few, and that it would be something down the road. But only a year after we got married, we were at a Christian conference, and out of the blue, a young pregnant girl there saw us across the room and asked if we would be the mother to the parents to her child when it was born. We didn't know this person. It was just a very unique God encounter for sure.
So the part of the process then of adopting that, then you had to go through some...
We hired a couple private attorneys. Okay. And yeah, did a private adoption.
And then so your first child, then you were able to be there right when she was born.
We were in the room when she was born.
Oh,
it
how
was
cool.
Incredibly amazing. It was a beautiful experience.
And the biological mother, did she have a hard time then with that... giving her up to
you? She did. She knew that it was the right decision, and so that made it easier on her. She didn't waver in her decision at all, but obviously, you know, it was difficult for her to give up this child that she had carried. And
so you go from no children to a baby, to an infant, and all of the things that go with that infant.
Yes.
How did that impact your relationship? Your husband and you, how did that change?
We had only been married a year, so we didn't have too much footing behind us. We had wanted to be parents, both of us, all of our lives. And so it was just, it almost seemed too natural to just slip into parenting.
Yeah, and I suppose with knowing how providential all of the experiences leading up to the adoption and everything, it gives you strength for the sleepless nights.
Yes.
Or the sick baby.
Yes. Yes.
So as you, then your first child was how old when you decided to adopt your second child?
Just after our oldest child turned one, we started really praying about a second sibling, whether that was adopted or biological. We just knew we wanted a sibling close in age to her, and we knew that we definitely at some point did want to adopt again so that she wasn't the only adopted one. Our deep down wish was another little girl that would look something like her, but we had no idea what God had in mind, so we opened ourselves up wide for adopting a sibling group or having biological kids or whatever, however it would come.
Now, there's been quite a bit of research about adoption as far as the impact on that infant. And how do you deal with that? Sometimes it's been called a primal wound where they're taken away from their biological parent. Do you think there is even an impact? Do you think you totally fill that void?
I think a very unique thing with the oldest child is that I was able to nurse her. And that's very almost unusual.
Yeah.
But I think it really did create a very unique bond that we wouldn't have been able to yes. have otherwise. I'm sure that there is a sense of loss to some degree in her little life somewhere. And my husband and I just constantly pray that we can fill her up with all the love that can possibly be and be as open as possible about her adoption with her.
Now, your second child, what were some of the challenges that were different than with your first adoption?
With the second one, God led us to foster care, the foster care system. And we had no idea why, because we did not want to foster. We wanted to adopt. Mm-hmm. We felt like, though, that we should just keep going ahead. And they kept saying there's no need for adoptive people, but you can take the training. And so we took the training. We were just to get licensed, and they called us up and said they had a baby girl who was available for adoption, newborn, and were we interested?
Oh,
and
neat.
That was 10 months after we started praying for
That's
another child
neat.
To enter our family.
Yeah, so God almost gave you a term of pregnancy, of anticipation.
Yes, yes, we definitely, definitely had that full 9 months of praying every day yes. for a baby. And as soon as we got her, we looked at her and said, baby girl, you're the child we've been praying for this yes. whole time. We had no idea who you were, but here you are.
That's wonderful. And so then legally, so you got her, but then legally she wasn't officially adopted for some time.
Right. Yeah. She was 8 months when it finalized. It was just the average court
Yes.
papers to go mm-hmm. through. But she was ours from the beginning.
Yes. And so have you met her biological parents?
Or? We have not yet, but they've expressed an interest in a semi-open to open adoption, and they live not far from us. So we hope to open up some sort of communication.
Yes.
With them.
Now, what do you feel about that? Because at one time back in the olden days, you know, those records were sealed. When you gave up a child for adoption, there was no chance of yes. you ever reconnecting with that child.
Yeah.
They felt like that was the best way. What do you think?
As we've researched it, there's definite pros and cons to both sides. But the more that we looked at it, the more we decided that we would like our children to know who their birth families are from the first. We talk about them by name. We have some random pictures here and there. We want to open up, you know, more communication as they get older so that they know who their bio families are, who they look like, mm-hmm. all of that. And it will give them just a deeper sense of identity, I think, and not a big shock at 21 or whenever
yes.
of a first-time
yes.
encounter or anything like that, that they just kind of grow up feeling natural about it.
I think that's a healthy way, even though there might be a risk, mm-hmm. you know, and that might be what
yes.
everyone was afraid of, but the risk is not as big as the feeling of having been deceived that the child, I think,
yes.
feels
yes.
when they find out. I mean, I always wondered if I was adopted.
Yes. I went through that. I wonder if everyone goes through
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't a reassuring thing either. Am I adopted? It was a scary thing. Am I adopted? You know?
Yes.
And I don't know why, even at a young age, thinking, oh, that could be a bad thing that I was adopted.
Yes.
Whereas we want them to know that it's a very special thing. So what are some of the spiritual lessons that you've already learned through this experience?
We've learned so much. There are so many parallels. Probably the biggest spiritual application that I can think of is that these little girls had no idea that they even needed a family. They had no idea mm-hmm. that they were being you know, that their birth families were unable to take care of them and that they needed somebody to take them in. They were just so tiny, and it wasn't their choice. They didn't come looking for us, but that we made the decision to bring them into our family. And I just think that's how God is with us. Like, we don't have any idea the condition yes. we're in and that we're so desperately in need of him. And yet he takes us in unconditionally and just loves on us and calls us his kids.
Amen. Well, we have to take a break right here. But when we come back, I want to ask how you balance the responsibilities as a pastor's wife and your children. We'll be right back.
You've got questions? God has answers, and they're all found in the Bible. Welcome to God's Treasure Chest. I'm Charles Mills. Let's see what's hiding in God's Word today.
How can we be more loving to our friends and enemies?
Becoming more loving is the best way to better ourselves socially. Knowing more facts than everyone else labels you as a genius. Winning every race makes you an athlete. Being more beautiful or handsome identifies you as a hunk or babe. But having more love turns you into a friend. Think about the people you know. Who do you enjoy spending time with the most? If you're like me, it's those who share love with every greeting, who genuinely care about you, who listen instead of talk, sympathize, encourage, freely allowing their laughter and tears to blend with yours. How do you learn to love more? By sitting at the feet of an expert on the subject, Jesus Christ. His friends and, yes, even his enemies felt the power of his forgiveness, patience, and unconditional kindness. Paul says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." 1 Corinthians 13:13 NIV.
My friends expect me to love them, but my enemies? Boy, are they in for a shock.
If you'd like to learn more about God and His amazing treasure chest, write for your free kids-only Bible course. The address is Treasure Chest, P.O. Box 53055, Los Angeles, California, 90053. Discover the many answers waiting for you in God's treasure chest.
I'm Joy Michaels. Welcome to Heartbeat. Ever had to keep news to yourself that just seemed utterly impossible to hold in? For me, it was easier not to know a precious secret because an impulse to shout the news would quickly overcome me. So it is with the news of God's great love. There's no reason why I should keep this life-changing message of hope and peace to myself. I've learned that the most effective way to transmit such a great message of hope is just to let it out. If you've experienced the amazing gift of God's love, then shout it out. Let the world know that you've been changed by the God of the universe. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Well, welcome back. I'm here with Stephanie Livergood, and we're talking about adoption. And I thought it was so great before the break where you saw the parallels between the fact that even before we knew we were sinners, God saved us. Before we were even born, God sent His Son to save us. Yeah. And you see that parallel in the adoption. Your little girls had no idea that what was going on in their lives. But they have now felt the arms and the comfort of a family, and we'll just have to check back with you later on as things progress. Right now, your oldest daughter is
two and a half,
and the baby is
10 months.
10 months. So that leads us right into the next question. How do you balance all of the responsibilities of being a pastor's wife and also doing a lot of the secretarial work and things that have been given to you by default? How do you do it?
Some days I don't know that I do it. It's a constant challenge, and I'm learning and growing a lot in that. Before we had any children, I was extremely involved in the church and over at the church every day, had an office and of my own and worked a lot alongside my husband and loved it. And yet my deepest wish was to be a mother.
Yes.
So here I have the children and I'm tied down to nap times and meal times and all of that. And I basically fit in whatever I can fit in when they're napping or different things. The secretarial, I do a lot more work from home. Bible studies, I have to have people come to my house instead of being able to go to theirs.
Yes, you're a Bible worker as well.
Yes.
Mention that.
Yes.
What's your educational background?
I actually am a nurse.
Okay.
But not working as one. And what I love is doing Bible work and teaching the Bible, working alongside my husband. That's my first love.
And of course, we now know your first love are those little darling
girls. Yes, yes.
Well, I won't say that is your first love. I know Jesus is your first love.
Yes.
And so as these children are growing and pressing on the boundaries, how do you establish those boundaries? What is your philosophy of discipline?
And discipline is, as my husband and I have set it out in our family, is to guide them to make the right decisions, to teach them how to make the right decisions when they grow older, not just to be restrictive with them and tell them what is right and wrong, but to help them to learn. And of course, at this time, they're so young.
Yes.
that it is, you know, mommy saying
That's
no
right.
a lot. But as they grow older, to be teaching them what their own boundaries are. My parents, I think, did a great job with me of giving me the freedom to make my own decisions,
yes.
to fail and to grow through that. And I want to offer that same to my girls, to let them see that they can be who they are.
Yes. Now, you recently had an experience, and I just think God was providentially taking care of you through it all, but I wondered if you'd mind sharing that with us.
Well, I was an absent-minded mom and started a little kitchen fire while I was gone. And yeah, it's been quite an experience being out of our home for a few weeks now. And
so tell, how was that day? Was it a sunshiny day?
It was a beautiful day.
And so you decided to
take the girls to the park. And before I went to the park, I was cleaning up the kitchen and tossed some Rubbermaid containers in to sterilize. Instead of sending them through the dishwasher, I thought I'd do it the stovetop way very quickly and turned around to put shoes on my two-year-old and said, oh, we're ready to walk out the door,
yeah.
and go to the park. And there we went. So I came home to a smoky, sooty
house. So about how long did those Rubbermaid things?
2 hours.
2 hours they got to... They
to
were
disseminate
very,
throughout the house. There's nothing left of them.
They were very, very sterilized. So they were in boiling water. The water
yes.
evaporated. And
yes.
then they just kept cooking and cooking and cooking.
And
baking or boiling or whatever.
Cooked right on
so
away.
They cooked away. So there was nothing left
There's
in
nothing
the kettle?
There's nothing left. Just black soot and little strands of plastic particles all over the house.
Wow. So what were the results of that? Now, you had an animal in the house. How did the animal fare?
As soon as I opened the door, she came bombing out and down the street. Our dog.
Get out! Let me out of this! But she was okay.
Yes.
But
she seems fine.
They still ruled or whatever that this plastic smell was not appropriate for you to breathe.
Correct.
So you were put into a hotel?
A hotel, yes.
And how long have you been in that hotel now?
Almost 3 weeks.
Wow.
3 weeks tomorrow. And we have another week to go.
Okay, so then they came in and they took all your... like clothes and everything, and
clothes, bedding, curtains, rugs.
What
purses,
about the carpet?
Shoes. We have hardwood.
Okay, so that.
So, but everything material that could be taken out of the house was taken to a professional cleaners to get the smoke out of it specifically. And we've had cleaning crews in our house
wow.
several times.
Now, why is there multiple times? Why do they come multiple times?
Well, they should have only come one time, but oh, maybe this is... but there was still black on the floor, so I kept calling them back until they finished it.
So how did the black get on the floor? There was no actual flame.
There was apparently not. There must have been some small flame at some point enough to... There was just soot everywhere in the house. Every surface you would touch would come up black. And the bottoms of my feet were black, and everything inside medicine cabinets. And
so what did you do with all the children's toys? And
they took them and cleaned them all at the cleaners, and whatever couldn't be taken to the cleaners was cleaned professionally there in the house.
Wow.
So yes, it's now being repainted starting today, and we should be able to move
now,
back in.
Have you gone into the house since?
Yeah, we've been there almost every day.
And is there still a smell? Can you still tell that there's...
They got most of it out. They have a couple more things to do to get rid of the smell in the kitchen. Pull out some of the hood over the stove and cabinets. Other than that, it's much better. Much better. It's been quite a process. I never knew that if you left something on the stovetop, you could be out of your house for a month. Even without a fire.
That is amazing. God did protect your house, even though it's been I'm sure it's been a trial. You actually went through...
Well, the Marriott hasn't been all bad.
Well, that's right. That's definitely a silver lining. But you went through the Sandy hurricane threat and everything. And
we were at the hotel.
Well, God has certainly blessed you, and I know that things are not always easy in life, but we just keep on keeping on. And we're coming to the end of the show, so on a more spiritual note, I praise God for your girls and the blessings and the blessings that they will bring, you know, to your life. Both the challenges. Have you had a day when they've been sick?
They're quite healthy, but I've definitely had my challenges when they're both crying all day long or something like that. And yes, there have been the challenging days, but I'm so thankful for them.
What would you say to our listener who maybe is thinking of adopting?
Absolutely, 100%. We love adoption. We love what it's taught us about God in our families. In a way, we don't even necessarily feel like we've adopted these two little ones because we got them right from the beginning, and they just seem completely 100% part of us. We are still looking into and may someday adopt some older children or an international adoption where the children know that they're being adopted. I 100% recommend adoption, and it's done wonderful things for my perspective of God.
Well, and I think that this story is great for those families that have been, you know, trying to find a child to adopt. And here it just seems like God gave you these two, just like here.
Yes.
And so He'll give the right child to them too.
Yes.
Out there.
Yes.
Well, we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to MRGMediaMinistries.com. That's all one word. MRGMediaMinistries.com.